Thank you, brother. I thought that was a compelling case for the point that you made. I wanted to see what you thought about this passage in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, where the Bible speaks of husband and wife as joint heirs of the grace of life. And I know there's a number of interpretations suggested as to what that means. Some people say it has to do with common salvation of a husband and wife in a Christian home, and some people take it other ways. But Charles Ellicott, who's, of course, a respected commentator, had an interesting interpretation. I just wanted to see what you and maybe others thought of it. He says that it's a reference to procreation. And I'm quoting here, "They, the husband and wife, are privileged by the Creator's primeval benediction to transmit life. They have the power, and no archangel has the like, to bring human beings into existence." And his point is that if a husband and wife jointly have the grace of life, the ability to create life, well, the husband's role is finished at conception. He doesn't have anything else to do with the developing child. And so if it's something husband and wife do together, then conception is obviously the beginning of the life process. Now, some people might not agree with Ellicott's interpretation there, but if it's the right one, that's a pretty powerful point, it seemed to me. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. I'll just throw this in here. I'd also like you to talk a little bit about contraceptive birth control pills. And just to be frank, after I got married and started considering that subject more seriously, I am not comfortable with any of the birth control pills that I see on the market. It seems that every one of them that I'm aware of causes what we should consider an early term abortion, or at least it can, by allowing an egg to fertilize, but it just doesn't get to attach to the uterine wall and it dies. That may come across harsh to some people, but I've done a lot of reading on it, and I know a few other people here who agree with me. I'd like to hear your thoughts on both those things.
Well, I may have very little thought on either one of them. This in 1 Peter 3 is a very interesting thought, and it will require more study on my part, because if that conclusion is correct, it would be an excellent one to add to this and any other study on this subject. Dealing with birth control pills and things, I really didn't get involved so much with that. I did have a brief thought about it. I've never given enough thought to form a decision if I felt like it was right or wrong. I've always just assumed, and which is never a wise way to go through things. I've thought about things such as what they used to, and probably still do, refer to as the morning after pill, that I believe the life begins at conception, and if the morning after conception is nothing more than abortion, from my understanding. Sure.
Well, if I'm speaking an educated statement, then I'm willing to be corrected. But I agree with what you say about the morning after pill, and he's not here to endorse or to deny that I'm quoting him. But I spoke with Brother Bart Shaw, who we all know is a qualified medical doctor. He knows what he's talking about in this field. And he's the one who informed me that we as Christians, especially as preachers, should be a lot more thoughtful on this subject of birth control pills. And it's something that isn't discussed very often. Most of us young married people don't have any information whenever we get married to think what is right or wrong about that. And it's at least something worth study. I was too harsh and somebody knows that, then they can correct me. But at least there's some dangerous, if they're not all dangerous, there's some dangerous products out there on the market. And I think it needs to be discussed as far as all this is concerned.
I think so, too. I appreciate that.
We have George Batty.
Mark, you did a great job. Even without your PowerPoint, I don't know how much better it could have been how you presented it already. I heard you mention that 1% of abortions, the women give the reason for their abortion as they are rape victims and they want an abortion because of that, and 0.5% say it's because of incest.
Right.
Okay, I never did hear, and I stayed awake during your whole presentation, but I don't remember your response. What should we say to people who say, you mean you're even opposed to abortion in the case of rape? What should we say to those people? And what should we say to someone who says, if the life of the mother is in jeopardy, then in that case, it would be justifiable. I don't remember you giving a response to that. You may have. I thought I was awake, but maybe.
And maybe there's a reason why.
Okay.
Now, I would simply say that the child is innocent. It's a human being. And under those type of situations, as horrible of a situation that bringing that child into the world, it's still a child, and we still have no right to take the life of that child any more than I would if a woman finds out after giving birth, they do blood work, they find out this child is not from your husband, it came from a rape, would we take that life of that child? No, but I believe if it's still in the womb or out of the womb, it is still a child, still a living being created by God. So, and the same way, the mother's health, you know, that has to be one of the most heart-wrenching situations that people would have if the mother's health is seriously endangered. And the doctors do not believe that they're going to be able to survive. I still see nothing in the scriptures that would give us the authorization to terminate the life of the innocent child because of that. That's my view.
I agree with you. I remember many years ago, before I got married, I was in the home of Brother Richard DeGolf, and he and his wife Glenda were talking to me about this. And Richard said right there in front of Miss Glenda, he says, if her life was in danger, he says we have no right to destroy that child just to save her life, because that's a life too. And I just wanted to pass along a little story. About 30 years ago, my sister was expecting her very first baby. And the doctor did some kind of a test. I don't know what the test was, but anyway, he said, there is a high percentage of a chance that this child is going to have Down syndrome. And he says, I recommend that you get an abortion. And she called me up, and she was, you know, just devastated. And, you know, I told her, I said, you know, we know you can't do that. And she knew that. She wasn't calling to get some approval or anything like that. But she was very upset about it. And it turned out that the child was born absolutely normal, at least as normal as a half batty and half nickel can be. And so all I'm saying is, you know, when these tests are done and these doctors put this scare into parents, you know, we just need to realize we don't have the right to start taking life just because this baby may be less than perfect physically when it's born.
Well, I agree. And like I said, you know, it is a very emotional subject, and it's even more emotional for the ones that just been told by the doctor your health is in danger or any of these other things. And I think as preachers, as Christians, we need to be sympathetic with those who are having these, you know, that must go through this situation. But still we must think according to God's word instead of just human logic.
Yeah, Derek.
Brother, you did an excellent job. That's a very sensitive topic to cover and very difficult to talk about. I just wanted to make a couple of comments, if I may. Clint, you brought up the birth control thing and just want to add to some of the stuff you said. I am familiar with some women who use birth control that is prescribed by a doctor for health complications, and it helps them with things that they may struggle with in their health. And I believe that birth control is a very fine line. And some of me wants to lean towards the fact that birth control is more of a politically correct conception control. And part of me wants to lean towards, well, it's just a means, you know, maybe they just don't want to have a child for any of the reasons that you mentioned. And as Christians, we kind of have to use discretion when talking about those kinds of things and talking about abortion to especially to young women nowadays who, in my experience, particularly want to favor abortions. And it's just a difficult subject, but you did very well, and just want to make a couple comments about that.
Thank you.
We had Richard Bunner, and then Alan, and then Blaine.
I realize that young people don't like to hear birth control pills being condemned. But now, Clint brought up something that's, I don't think we can hide our heads in the sand about. And if they're, you know, if young women are taking birth control pills for some other health reason, if you're thinking about getting married, then you need to stop taking the birth control pills. That's just the opposite of what we think. But if you'll do your research, you'll find that birth control pills, if they do not prevent the conception, they will cause an abortion. And what we've heard today, yeah. Mark gave an excellent talk. Abortion is wrong. And whether you go to an abortion clinic and have, you know, something done that is very sinful and wrong, or whether you have some chemically induced abortion that's at home and you don't even realize it, it's a sin. And so we don't want to hide ourselves from what the facts are in regard to that. I really appreciate your talk, Mark.
Thank you.
And, you know, I think young people, they lots of times they want to have their careers ahead of having family. They'll say, well, I want to, you know, go to school and I want to, you know, work a few years and get the house paid for, get financially stable, and then have children. And that's why they want to take birth control pills. You need to reevaluate taking the birth control pill because your reasons are pretty selfish to begin with.
Good job, Mark. When people are reading material about this issue that Clint and Richard are discussing, the material says, way down in the material about the drugs, that they can function as an abortifacient. That's the key word. They're not designed primarily to do that, but like Richard said, if they don't prevent the conception, they act as an abortifacient afterwards. That's the word to look for.
It is definitely something to consider that I really had not, but that's any type of abortion at any moment after conception is just wrong. And the pills like that, they do it, then it would be wrong to use.
I wanted to make a little comment about Psalm 139.
Okay.
I heard Joe preach this one time, Joe Heisel, and I went and checked it out in a couple of scholarly commentaries. But when that talks about being wrought or being knitted together, that's actually literally what happens when the DNA combines from the sperm and the egg. It is literally knitted together. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes that an even more powerful point there.
Absolutely.
I think we do now have the technology to probably have this discussion a little bit greater than it was back a long time ago, or whenever we started out. Birth control pills, when they started out, were such high dosage. They were trying to imitate what happens whenever a woman becomes pregnant. And once it does, it changes the chemicals in her body, and it prevents other children, you know, happening at that time. And so in imitation of that, they tried to create the conditions where birth control, well, they were very, very high. And of course, they contributed to cancer. And so they cut that down, and now they have low dose, which does not prevent conception. And I think that's what we're discovering. It's come, what I'm trying to say is the history of it is not all the same. At first it was very high dosage, then they dropped it down to low dosage. And this has been an interest of mine, seriously, for a long time, because when my wife and I got married, we have a Shelley Fox was a pediatrician nurse, and we were asking her about the morality of some of the issues in different methods of birth control. IUD was available at that time, other kinds of things. And I want to tell you, the IUD is a form of abortion. It's not a form of birth control. It does not prevent conception. So the issue is whatever birth control you choose, it needs to prevent conception, because that's the point that you made.
Exactly.
And so, but whenever I began to study this issue, I think we've neglected studying the issue of birth control, period. It's bothered me that I've had couples come to me for premarital counseling and said, we are not planning on having any children at all. And I've had several couples do that. And they believe that's according to the will of God. And that's, I'm not sure the Bible teaches that. And there have been discussions and debates on the issue of whether birth control is an issue. And we've never talked about it. And I think it needs to be discussed. I just want to, it's not your issue.
I think you're right. We need to consider it even more. I just didn't get into it in mind, but it's any form of abortion is wrong, period.
Right. Well, I want to put one more thing in there, too. I think that we're reaping the consequences, I think, of the sexual revolution, and it's having its impact on our culture. And we talk about, you know, inoculation and how, whether that promotes Down syndrome and stuff like that. Well, one universal thing they've discovered is the later a woman waits to have her first child, it affects the DNA. The older a man is, it affects the DNA. It affects the life of the children that come. And people need to consider the effect of having a child later in life has as well. And they're starting to see patterns, is what I'm trying to say. So not that I think that that's either morally right or wrong, you know, to make a decision to wait. But I do believe that birth control itself is an issue, and we need to discuss whether the proclamation of to go forth and multiply still applies to us today. Is that still God's will? If it is, what are the parameters of that? You know, we need to, I do believe that birth control itself is an issue. And I've had brethren tell me they believe that it's wrong to have any kind of birth control except self-control.
Right.
And then I've had other people, I've had kids in the church lately, a lot lately, tell me they are not planning on having any children at all. And I'm not sure that's the will of God.
That's a problem within itself.
I guess we're finished. I just want to commend Mark for his presentation. And you know, I've heard a lot of comment about what George said at the 4th of July meeting about how to cause the church to grow. And You know, I think about what Paul said. He said, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children. And I mentioned Sunday evening that any time a lady had rather have a poodle dog, you know, than a child, there's something wrong with that picture. That's one reason that's affected the church. It really has that mindset. Thank you, Mark, for your presentation.